If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. If you are reading one of those Bibles in the seats, it's on page 832. If you don't actually have a Bible of your own, please don't leave here without one. We have Bibles at the welcome desk, and we'd love for you to have one. It's our honor to give you one, actually. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read verses 36 to 43. Hear the word of the Lord. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? It is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, would you shape our minds and our hearts right now as we heard your word, as we hear the good news, the true news of what you've done in rising from the dead. God, would you shape us so that we would see this world and our lives and everyone around us differently today? God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts that would understand and repent and turn to you in every possible way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, my hope when you walk out of here today is that you will walk out, that I will walk out as well with a resurrection-shaped imagination, okay? Not imagining things that aren't there. I mean, let's be very, very clear. Our entire faith, what we are doing here today and every Sunday and every time in between, it depends completely on Jesus dying, really, and rising from the dead. It is not just a religious thing, religious story that we that is made up and that we believe. If this did not happen, well, there's other things we could be doing. But it did happen. And so I want us to walk out of here today with a resurrection-shaped imagination for the resurrection life that God has given us now. For those who are in Christ, for those who are in Christ, neither death nor sin get anything in the end. Hear me. Death and sin get no victory in the end for those who are in Christ. What we read here, the story, there's a story that happened later on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And he appeared to his disciples, and they thought he was a ghost. And so he showed them that he had bodily risen in two ways. He showed them the scars on his hands and his feet, and he ate with them. He asked for some fish. It's kind of funny to me. I want to draw attention to just one detail here. Jesus' resurrected body still bore the scars of the cross. His resurrected body still bore the scars of the cross. The Gospel of John actually tells us that too. It's not just Luke. And in fact, the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, when John has a vision of the ascended Jesus, Jesus appears as a lamb as though slain. Jesus still bears the scars of the cross in his resurrected body. I want you to keep that in mind. Now, I want you to just listen. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. It'll be up here on the screen. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This corruptible body that is subject to decay and disintegration and death will be changed and become incorruptible, imperishable, immortal, and whole. Hey, buddy. And when that happens, the word of God through Isaiah will come to be. Death is swallowed up in victory. That gaping maw of death will be, that is so unavoidable for us. It is the unavoidable reality that touches and defines every part of our lives and how we experience life now. That black hole will be swallowed up in God's victory. God's victory in the resurrection will be as unavoidable to death as death is to us now. Then the words of the prophet Hosea will ring out, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? He says, Paul says, the sting of death is sin. The sin is the poison that leaves nothing in me untouched. It reaches, there's not an uncorrupted part. That sin is swallowed up by the resurrection life of Jesus in his free gift of righteousness. And he says, where is sin's power? Because the poison of sin is swallowed up in forgiveness and in righteousness, the law no longer condemns. We shall all be changed, raised, incorruptible, immortal, still changeable, but only for the better. Can you even imagine what that might be like? Your resurrected life will never suffer any sort of diminishment. These bodies and everything else that makes me, me, and you, you, all who are in Christ will be transformed, healed, redeemed, and perfected. Jesus still bears the scars on his hands and on his feet, on his side and on his head. But in his resurrection, those scars are no longer signs of weakness. They've been swallowed up in victory. The cross-borne scars of Jesus have been taken up and transformed into already a wholeness that is unimaginable. They had been signs of how others abused and hurt him. They have now become signs for all time of his life-giving power. Because Jesus lived and died and rose again, he is perfectly able to save every single one who comes to him by faith. Every weak and weary sinner. And having received resurrection life from the last and true and better Adam, that's what the language that Paul uses even before what we read, that sin and death will be swallowed up for you and for me as well. Sin and death get no victory. They keep nothing of me in the end. They are swallowed up in victory. And listen, listen, that brings me to one breathtaking conclusion. See, I fully expect that I too am still going to bear the scars that have been left by the work of sin and death in me. They won't be gone. They will be healed, transformed, and integrated into my resurrection body in the new and glorious wholeness, just like in Jesus. And if this is true of my body, then there is nothing about me that is left out. Nothing. Nothing is left out. He doesn't leave anything behind. Here's the thing. Everyone, please hear me. God loves you. He loves the real you and the real me. Not the you that you wish you were, and not the me that I wish I was. For all who have laid aside every self-reclamation project, self-help project, any way that you've tried to prove that you are good and good enough, for all who have laid those things aside and come to Jesus, because only by faith in Him, can we find forgiveness and life. For all who have done that, God will raise you. He will raise me. He will leave nothing out. That is the real you and the real me. Not the you and the me that we wish we were or we think other people expect us to be. So I want you to ask yourself, what does it mean that God's going to raise all of me? As you think about that, I'm going to give you an opportunity later, kind of as we're closing. If you want, there's prayer cards up here, and if you want to just go write the thing that you are thinking about and nail it to the cross, I'm going to invite you to do that a little bit later. But ask yourself, begin to ask yourself right now, what does it mean that God will raise all of me? See, each and every one of us looks at our bodies, our inward selves, and we see all sorts of things that we despise and we are ashamed of. There's spaces in which we bear the scars of not enough, unwanted, unloved, alone. Too much of this and far too little of that. And we bear scars of grief. We bear scars of the things that have been said and done to us, and yes, the things that we have done and said to others. Where is it, deep down, where is it that you are too scared to tread with God in your life? Where is it hardest for you to hear the good news? Those very things, I tell you, for all who are in Christ, those very things will be raised up and transformed whole, and they will form part of your eternal life in gloriousness and in wholeness beyond all of your imagination. I want to give you even a silly example. Maybe there's some here who have almost no filter between their brain and their mouth. What if when Jesus raises you up, you become the one in all of the new creation that is quickest to praise and thank God? What if that happens in the resurrection? You know, there's any number of things, but this is actually our hope. Jesus carries the scars into the resurrection, into His resurrection, and He will raise us up, you and me. And listen, when we talk about being saved or coming to Jesus by faith. The Bible tells us that we are already given, by through the Holy Spirit, we are given right now a down payment on that resurrection life now. When I tell you, I pray this, I don't know if you've even noticed this, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. When we confess our sins and I'm assuring you of your salvation, I almost always tell you that for those who are in Christ, new creation, the old has gone, the new has come. That means that that resurrection life is given to you now, in part. He loves that part of you that you're running from now. He wants to heal and transform it now. For some of us, those things will be, God will do that in 5 minutes, and for some of us, it'll be a lifetime or beyond our lifetime. For some things. But he loves that part of you now. Even now, in the arms of Jesus, that total victory of God is beginning to heal and make us whole. This is the good news. This is the good news of resurrection, the good news of Easter. This is what we're here for. I love that we have an amen chorus out there. Pray with me. Lord God, as we continue to worship you, Lord, would you take those things that we don't want to look at, those things that we're either ashamed of or that we despise about ourselves, those things about us that for whatever reason have shaped our lives, and Lord, you want to take that shape and you want to reform it and you want to give us, you want to raise it to life. Lord, that doesn't, we know that that doesn't mean that we won't struggle with these things throughout our lives, but Lord, we look forward to the day in hope that you will make those things whole. And that when we come into your new creation, that we will, Lord, be even formed by those things and perfected through them. Because your forgiveness makes us whole. Your resurrection life is so far beyond what we think it is. God, would you give us resurrection-shaped imaginations? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.